Welcome to Coffee with Ken, with your host, Ken Balsley.
Well, this is Coffee with Ken. I'm your host, Ken Balsley. We're at Forza Coffee on Marvin Road, Martin Way corner there. Thank them very much for allowing us to use their facilities and giving us free coffee and tea. And my guest today is a lady I've never met in my life until just about 10 minutes ago. Her name is Michelle James, and she is the Vice President of Operations and the Chief Nursing Officer for Providence St. Peter Hospital. Now, you have to say yes or no.
Yes, sir.
She was shaking her head here.
That is me.
That's you. So very briefly, what does the Vice President of Operations and the Chief Nursing Officer do?
Well, and the card that I gave you doesn't really cover all of my role. So I. So my responsibility is for St. Peter Hospital, for Centralia Hospital, and for the Providence Medical Group. My responsibility is around nursing practice in all of those settings.
So you're like the Chief Nursing Officer.
Chief Nursing Officer, yes. So
for four facilities?
St. Peter Hospital, Centralia Hospital, and then the PMG Medical group. So there we have approximately 40 medical groups, and the nursing part of that falls under my purview.
And how long have you had that particular position?
I've been in this role, it'll be 4 years in August. I've been here.
You ready to leave it?
No, I love it. I absolutely love it.
What do you love about it?
The people. It's every day I have the privilege of working with incredibly dedicated people that I really want to serve our community and serve their patients. So that feels great. And there's always a challenge. There never is one day the same as the next. There's always a new challenge, a new opportunity. And I love that because I can get bored easily if I don't have a lot to
do. So do you consider yourself a people person?
Absolutely.
So how does that
you
relate?
You couldn't tell?
But how does that relate to being an administrator?
Well, part of the work, so I guess I would have to say...
You push a lot of paper, too, I assume.
Yeah, there's a lot of paper pushing. There's a lot of meetings. However, my role is really around making sure that I'm supporting the people at the sharp end, the people that are there touching our patients and making
sure...
The ones
in the trenches, as we call it.
Yeah, doing the work. So for me, when I left the bedside, critical care is my background, and I did that for many years. And I have to say...
So you were a nurse.
I am a nurse.
Ooh,
always goodness. A nurse, always a nurse. but at the bedside, I was a really good nurse, and I loved caring for patients and families. And so with the transition to administration, I really see my role as continuing to advocate for the staff that are doing the work.
Well, since you brought up a previous job, uh-huh. Let's talk a little bit about you. Where are you from originally?
From Everett, Washington.
Really? So I'm a Northwest girl.
Yeah, Northwest.
All right.
My whole life.
All right.
Yeah.
And did you always want to be a nurse?
I knew in the second grade that I wanted to be a nurse.
Why? Why in the second grade?
The second grade, I was in a program called CDA, Catholic Daughters of America.
Okay.
And we went to a nursing home, and I encountered an elderly woman who had had a stroke, and she was drooling, and she couldn't speak, and all of the other girls were afraid of her.
Sure.
And she grabbed my hand, held onto my hand, and we had this immediate connection. And I knew at that moment that I would be a caregiver. And to this day, I look back and I think about her beautiful eyes and that connection I had with her, and it's just been privileged work
ever
since.
That's a fantastic story.
Yeah.
I mean, not many people can have a calling at two. I mean, at second grade.
Yeah, seven.
Seven. Yeah. Yeah. And she reached out and grabbed you.
She did.
You're going to be a nurse. So where'd you go to school then?
I went to school at Everett Community College is where I did my ADN. So I've had an interesting journey. I've done a lot of work. I did ADN and went to school, and then I went back and got a bachelor's in business.
Where?
I went to University of Phoenix for the bachelor's in business. And then I went and did a master's degree. I finished that up. I did actually two of them because I was in the business world, and I really felt like if I wasn't at the bedside, I needed to have that opportunity really to connect with, really to really understand the business, because there is a business side to healthcare.
Sure there is. So how long were you an actual practicing nurse? whatever term you want to use.
Yeah. So
you're always a nurse.
Thank you. Yes. So now I've been a nurse for 34 years, and I practiced at the bedside for probably about 18 years, actually doing bedside nursing
in a variety
of different. But critical care is really my background. I did ER. I did some psychiatry. Then I did management.
It seems to me that that kind of stuff would just be a burnout job when you're dealing with people in distress all the time.
Yeah. There's risk with burnout, and I think that we've that in healthcare more, and there's a lot more literature out there saying that people do really burn out, or what's called compassion fatigue. There are a variety of names.
So it just becomes routine after a while.
So part of what we really have to do, and part of the work that we're doing at Providence, and part of the work that I'm doing for in my role, is really how do we care for the caregiver? And it's really, what are the things that we can do to support our caregivers so that they can continue to come back day after day and really
What can you do to take care for your caregivers? What is it they want most? Respect? Money? Better working conditions? What is it that they want?
What I hear from the staff is they really want, it depends. We have five different generations working in our environment.
So it depends on your
generation. Everybody's
huh?
a little bit different in what they want, but people want time off. People want a work-life balance. On shift, they want to know that there's someone there to support them if they're having a really rough day. They want to have a safe place that they can vent. They want to have a safe place that they can walk away and recharge if they need to recharge after a critical incident.
Is respect anything on their list?
Absolutely.
I would think,
people want to be respected for what they've done and really respecting the knowledge that
do
they
Do doctors
bring.
Respect the nurses?
Yeah. Yeah.
You always hear the doctor took doc down to the nurses and so on. I mean,
well, I'll tell you a funny story.
Years
ago, it was my first management job, and I was actually helping merge two hospitals, and critical care was the job that I took, and was bringing two hospitals together. And I walked into the critical care unit, and bringing the nursing staffs together was one thing, but I had a cardiac surgeon come in. And he was yelling at my nurse in front of a patient in a room. And I walked in. You know, I'm not very tall. He was this big guy, big voice. I took him by his shirt sleeve, and I said, "You're going to come back here and talk to me." And I said to him, "I'm sorry, but you will never speak to my staff that way on my watch. It is not okay." And then... He looked at me like, oh my gosh, who is this and what does she think she's doing? But what it did was we had the opportunity then to have a conversation about...
It was a teaching moment, too.
Yes, what respect looked like and that you don't have to scream and yell. And that was years ago. And I guess I have to say over probably the last 15 years, our relationships with our physicians and nurses are really... so much more collaborative. We work together as a team, and we have to be a team because that is what we are. We can't do it independently. We have to do it as a team. So it's really been incredible journey to see that change.
Well, I've got two nieces who are nurses.
Yeah.
One of them works for Project Hope on the ship.
Okay.
And the other one is a cancer nurse in Tacoma. But what's the biggest problem facing the nursing profession today?
I think that the greatest challenge right now is really we'll have a nursing shortage.
That's what I understand. Yeah.
So we're going into that nursing shortage. We have several baby boomers that are really getting close to retirement. In 2008, when the economy crashed, we were really actually given a little bit of a gift because those people that were going to retire stayed on, or those that were doing part-time and husbands may have been laid off or wives may have been laid off, they came and they worked. So that was...
I had heard that
it really was a gift. But now we're seeing as the economy has stabilized more, people are starting to retire. So we are doing, it's going to be a challenge. So we're looking every day on how do we make sure that we have the right workforce, kind of that pipeline. We're working with our schools of nursing. We're working with our community colleges, really just to say, how do we make sure we have a pipeline so that we can care for our patients?
Well, at one time, nursing was one of the few professions that was open to women, like teaching and nursing, and so you always had a ready supply of women ready to be nursing. But now that women can do anything, I'm assuming that that's kind of dried up. And I know more and more men are getting into the profession, but that's still a small number.
Yeah, actually.
I mean, I'm assuming it's a small
number. Men in nursing has actually increased, and it's right. really been a great asset to our teams. We seem to, you know, we have men that are a little more technical. We have several in our critical care units and our emergency departments.
One that can operate the equipment.
Yeah, and the operating room. So, but it is a profession that I think people that really want to be serve communities, it's really a profession that's privileged work.
Do you get medics from the military in as nurses?
Yes, occasionally.
I
wouldn't say we'd have a lot, but okay, there are some that come in, and there are a lot of different ways. Some are medical assistants that will go back to nursing school and come into the profession. There are CNAs. There are people that we have several nurses that it's their second career. They've done other things. I have a couple that were police officers, and then they went to nursing school and are now working as nursing. So it's really a great variety.
How do you convince young people coming up today that nursing is a good profession?
I think part of it is really...
It's really a well-paid profession.
We are well-paid, and that's taken some time, but I think we really mm-hmm. are there paid for the work that we're doing. And I think there's incredible variety in the work that can be done. As a nurse, you can do community health nurse, so you can work in acute care, you can work in a physician office, you can work on a ship doing mission work like your niece. So there are incredible opportunities, and you don't have to do one thing your whole career. You can try multiple areas in the profession.
You've convinced me, but my question is, how do you convince, what kind of outreach do you do? I mean, are you getting the kids in the second grade? Are you working with them? What do you do? Because you need to continue to...
So
you're going to need more as we old, as all of us get older.
Absolutely. So we've done, we have outreach projects where I've gone and I've spoke at middle schools and high schools. We have some of our other nurses that do that. We're invited in often to do that. We've had health fairs. We have, I'm trying to remember the youth council where we bring in kids from.
She just got a coaching from Chris.
From our schools, that they come in and they have the opportunity to actually not only see nursing, but they can see our pathology and the other departments and the other people that are part of the healthcare team. So, and then oftentimes what we see is that people that come from healthcare families oftentimes will go into healthcare.
Sure. Teaching families come, teachers yeah. and yeah. acting people come in, yeah. the kids become
yeah.
actors.
Yeah.
Because they have a pipeline. I mean, yeah. they have. You know, they have contacts, and that's why that's why it happened.
Yeah, my little mother, she's 83 years old, and she maintains her nursing license. She takes care of my stepfather. So once a nurse, always
that's
a nurse.
Pretty cute.
Yeah.
So nurses have to go back and get retrained or get recertified every so often?
Oh, yeah. We're required our license every year here in the state of Washington, so we renew that, and we have continuing education credits that we have to maintain.
So every year you renew it, and that's required. Do you have to have certain certification classes every year?
Yes.
So when do you do that and work?
Well, you do it... We do a lot of classes actually at the hospital. You can do things online. You can do seminars. Last week I was at a seminar and was able to get credits for that. So there are lots of opportunities to actually get credits. And then in healthcare, we also have mandatory requirements for keeping people up to date with the evidence as healthcare has changed, the research, so that we can stay relevant as healthcare changes.
Now, what we haven't talked about is behavioral health,
mm-hmm.
which is something that you're also involved in. You want
right.
to give me a real brief explanation of what it is that you do?
Yeah, so our behavioral health department reports up through me. So we have an inpatient psychiatry unit, which is 20 beds. And
this
so that's
this is at St. Pete's.
That's at St. Pete's.
Then we have the one down at college.
Right. So we have our chemical dependency program at college. We also have an older adult program where we have nurse practitioners that go out into homes for people that really can't come.
So it's more
to
than
services.
Just mental health.
It is. It's yes. When we talk about behavioral health, mental health, and wellness, we're really talking about kind of that whole continuum okay. and that comorbid condition.
Sure. I mean, if you're a shut-in, you have emotional problems.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then we're actually getting ready. We're in the middle of doing some tenant improvement on our building for our community care center, the Providence Community Care Center, which will be downtown Olympia on State and Franklin. And really, that will be a social service hub. And that's new in our portfolio. And really, it's a partnership with several agencies, human service agencies, to really to come together.
What's your connection with that?
Well, Providence Connect.
Yours personal.
Well, I'm actually in charge of it. So
okay.
It reports
all
up
right,
to me.
All right. See, now we know. Now we're talking to the right person.
So
go ahead, then.
So, yeah, with that service, we really hope to meet the vulnerable where they are and really connect them to services. So we're really doing that outreach.
Would you explain to me what services you're offering there and how it's going to work?
Yes.
And where the money's coming from?
I can. Yes. So it's a partnership. So Providence has put in, our Providence Foundation has put in a couple $1 million into this, and that's the philanthropy throughout our community, which
that's the foundation.
Generous support from our foundation. They've just been amazing. And then Capital Medical Center put in $500,000 for this. So again, that partnership.
That's a partnership. That's the first partnership that I've noticed between Capital and St. Pete.
Yeah.
That's an interesting move there.
Well, we really believe, and I really believe, and I think Providence and our executive team believe that we can't be all and do all for everyone. So we have to partner so that we can impact our communities and really make sure that we have the right services.
Is there a board of directors for that center?
So we will.
Somebody that supervises you?
Yeah. We have an advisory board.
Okay.
So we have an advisory board that will.
The Capital Medical Center sits on that then?
Okay. Capital Medical Center sits there. We have BHR. We have the BHO. We have businesses downtown. We have.
I don't know what BHR is, but what's BHO?
BHO is the Behavioral Health Organization. There's
okay.
a restructure.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So, our services, we hope to open. You know, we're doing the tenant improvement right now on the building. And in the building, we'll have a day area where people will be able to invite people in and really get them understand what their needs are. We'll have an advanced practice nurse that will be able to do some behavioral health assessments.
Well, you know what's going to happen. You're going to get people coming off the street coming in there. They've fallen down and they broke their arm or something. They're going to be doing that. Do you provide those kind of services there?
No. So we won't be doing...
So what will happen when they come in? You send them someplace else?
Well, we will. So it will be able to do basics. So we'll have the free clinic will be there. CMAR is partnering with us.
All right.
So we'll be able to do some of that. We'll have some exam rooms. But if somebody's really in crisis or needs emergency care,
you'll do emergency stuff there.
So really we're looking at bridge meds management for people that are on, that maybe have a behavioral health issue and they need the medication and they can't get it, that getting them back on their medication, making sure they get the medication, and then following them.
So what professional medical personnel will be on duty there? You had a nurse.
So we'll have, an advanced practice nurse, a mental health advanced practice nurse, who is in the state of Washington. They're considered LIPs, licensed independent practitioners, so they can work under their own license. So with that expertise.
Can they prescribe medication?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
That's going to be digging. A lot of people in there wanting medication.
Yeah, we will not do any narcotics. We will not do any of that. It's really around the behavioral health, the mental health.
Well, it's really an interesting concept because we've never had it before. Yeah. I mean, I assume they've had it in other communities, but we've never had it. What do you see as the biggest problems?
I think where we've recognized and we've verbalized that housing is still going to be a problem. Our hope is that we will be able to meet very fragile people where they are, homeless people, get them connected to services, but part of that is really getting them in housing, and then once they're in housing, continuing to support them.
Well,
and we have lack of housing.
That didn't particularly answer my question, because lack of housing is a community-wide, I'm talking about the clinic itself.
Oh, the clinic.
I would think that the initial one would be to get people to understand exactly what you are and what services you provide.
Yeah.
That would be the most difficult part, I would think.
Well, I don't know that it's going to be that difficult. As we get into the services, we're working very closely with Interfaith, and they have incredibly trained staff that know most of our homeless people downtown. So they're really, you know, they already have those relationships. So they will be working in the milieu, in our environment, both outside the building and in the building, to really make sure that we're connecting with the clients and then getting them connected to services.
So a good portion of the people working there are volunteers.
Well, no. Sidewalk will have, they are employees. Sidewalk, Interfaith will have employees there. Providence will have employees there. The free clinic are volunteers. We will have NAMI volunteers as well for peer-to-peer support. There will be volunteers, but there will also be several paid staff from different agencies.
And if you're successful, mm-hmm. you're going to be overwhelmed.
No, we hope. So this is our vision. We hope that if we're really successful and we do this right, what it looks like the day we open a year from now, it's going to look very different. That we are going to have more people connected into the appropriate services and hopefully off the street, and that our service then will continue to evolve as the community need it evolves. We're doing what's called there's a group of people that are doing what's called a vulnerability index. And so it's an evidence-based approach where they're actually out on the streets and they know the people that are living on the streets, the most vulnerable, that may die if they're left out on the streets, or they frequent the ER often because they have nowhere else to go for that safety net. So they're really trying to prioritize the most vulnerable with that vulnerability index and get them into services and then work
through that process. I assume you'll serve anybody that comes in the door.
Yes.
So it's not just the homeless population.
Correct.
I mean, so I imagine low income and people would be coming into. They use it as emergency rooms. They might.
Well, yeah, we won't use it as an emergency.
No.
People may pop in, but
we
will have a queuing system and really, you know, being able to do those assessments and making sure people are connected. We're working really closely with law enforcement as well. You know, the triage center is mm-hmm. opened, and so we have ongoing dialogue with them as those, you know, people that maybe end up in the triage center. And then when they're done there and they're living on the street, you know, we would say we would be a referral source where they could come and actually get connected to services to keep them safe.
Change the subject. Mm-hmm. You just got back from Guatemala when you were doing some work there. What were you doing there?
Yeah, so I lead, for Providence Health International, I lead a surgical team. Personally, I lead them once a year. I go twice a year. We take surgeons. I typically take two GYN surgeons and a couple general surgeons. I take a whole OR crew for three rooms, nurses to do a pre and post-op. We take a blogger and a photographer, and we also did, so we did a lot of surgery. We did 65 surgeries in a week.
Where in Guatemala?
In Guatemala, in Reyu, which is about 3 hours northwest of Antigua.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. and we work with the same hospital and the same hospital staff every year.
Oh, so you go there at the same
year.
Time every
yes.
year.
Yes. So they're just, you know.
Are you training the staff at the same time?
We are. And we've seen, and my eight visits there, from the very first visit, we had the Guatemalan staff that sat in a corner and didn't really touch patients or interact, to now they actually work side by side with us as a team. And it's just incredible work.
Yeah, because your work survives after you leave. Yeah. These people had now have more training and more confidence.
Yes, yes. It's just been fabulous. And the other thing that we did...
Is that funded out of the foundation?
No, that is actually funded through our system office. So Providence Health International. So we have an international division where we really have picked Guatemala as our primary country that we serve. We do some work in other places, and we have staff that do work all over
sure.
the world. But when we do that, we spend... pull the group together, so there's some volunteer, we support that, and then we work with Faith and Practice out of Houston, Texas for our surgical teams, and then Medical Teams International for water, sanitation, and stove building and clinics. So
sure.
we work with those two agencies really around sustainability and knowing that we're not doing drive-by work, that we're not
right.
going in, and that the
You're leaving something when you leave.
In-country staff
yeah.
then actually
We've learned
follow.
That through Rotary International. You can't just go in and put in a well system because then nobody maintains it.
Absolutely.
So you have to have people in place that are educated and trained to do it. You're doing the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Providence, isn't it just like the second largest system in the healthcare system in the United States?
I believe we're the third now, and that is now, recently we came together with St. Joseph Health out of Orange, California. So now we have Providence, St. Joseph in seven different states, 50 hospitals, 829 primary care, specialty care, physician practices, couple health plans.
So not just a bunch of old nuns.
No. Yeah, our nuns are, most of them are retired now. So.
Yeah, I haven't seen a nun at the hospital in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. So they've actually handed over to lay leadership.
That is an interesting foundation for, the nuns started St. Peter.
Yeah. 130 years ago,
yeah.
We had the women come from Montreal to the wild, wild west to come out and...
Yeah, they came to Minnesota out here, yeah.
No, not Minnesota, from Montreal. And they went through the Panama Canal before the Panama Canal. They were women...
Well, Mother Joseph has always had
a great
reputation in this state.
Yes.
Yeah. Particularly among the loggers and stuff.
Absolutely. They landed in Vancouver. And then started their work there with an orphanage and a school and a hospital. And so.
Yeah, it's a great story. The loggers would pay like a monthly stipend, to keep the hospital going. And then, sure. So I'm going to change the subject a little bit more. I don't know if you know about this or not, but there's a new community care clinic that Providence has opened, right? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about?
I got a big flyer in the mail the other day. And so it's from Providence.
Are you talking about our immediate care at Lacey?
I'm talking about the one out there on College Street.
Oh, yes. So that's...
What services are provided? I couldn't understand. I looked the brochure over, and I was confused when I got done as to what services they're offering.
Okay. So it's an immediate care. It's people that have sore throats, broken bones.
Someone that would go to the emergency room.
Correct. That you really don't need that level of care in the emergency room. It really is an area where you can go in and actually be seen by a provider and have medications prescribed, have lab work done, have x-rays done, and receive care in that clinic. And we are there. They're open from 8 to 8. So it's called, it's like an urgent care, but
right.
We call
so
it immediate care.
It's like the
care.
Private ones that you
yes.
see around. But
yes.
I didn't understand was who pays for the care, mm-hmm. and does insurance cover those costs?
Oh, yeah. So people will...
So if I could just go down there if I fell and sprained my arm, I could go down there instead of going...
Yes, and we would want you to do that. If it's the level of care, if you've got a sore throat or... We would want you to go to an immediate care versus
our emergency
department.
Even though I'm a group health member, Kaiser Permanente now,
right.
I could go there.
Well, that would be something you'd have to check with your insurance. We would see you. I don't know if your insurance would cover you
because
group health has an immediate care.
They do, but I don't think it's open 24 hours.
No. And ours is not open 24 hours.
Oh, that's right. 8
either.
To 8, you said. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
It's really kind of that after hours, really people that may not have a primary care physician. And it really is an opportunity because our emergency rooms are overflowing and we want those available really for people that are having heart attacks and strokes and need that care.
Well, I'm a communicator.
Uh-huh.
And I read that brochure,
uh-huh.
and when I got done, I still didn't understand exactly. It wasn't written for the average person. It was written for other medical professionals.
Okay.
That's the way I saw it.
Well, I'm going to have to go back and look at that. I haven't seen the brochure.
But you know the knowledge. The background. And somebody that's all of a sudden here's this community care clinic that's open 8 to 8, and you come down there, it didn't explain exactly how the process works.
Okay. Well, that's great feedback. I'll take that back, and we'll... Yeah, because we really do want to communicate that this is another service that's available in our community, because we do have one here in Lacey that's new, and it's a beautiful facility.
It's a beautiful facility.
It's gorgeous. They did a great job with it. And then we have one over in West Olympia, mm-hmm. so another immediate care there.
Well, we're coming to an end of our interview. Michelle, is there anything you'd like to talk about or mention?
No, it's just been a privilege sitting here and getting to know you, and now you can say you know me.
I can't say I know you. And they're going to say, Michelle who?
Yeah.
Unless it's a nurse.
That's right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I appreciate your dedication also to the profession.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Me and the Java and me. Yeah. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Ball.